From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 25th day of August, 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. We'll hear all about the agricultural weather forecast. Harvey 2, Eric Snodgrass will be with us from Agrible. And as we finish out our time together, we'll take a look at news for the day and hear from Brian Grady. He just finished up compiling all the numbers from the Farm Journal Midwest Crop Tour and adjusting those for Pro Farmer and their yield and production figures for corn and soybeans across the United States. We'll have a discussion with him as we make our way through this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. We're now joined by Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas, and he will be with us next Thursday at the Farm Progress Show. Probably a good portion of the day. Thanks for making the trip from Atchison over here to Decatur for next Thursday's program.
You know, Todd, it is not a bad drive at all on that nice 36 that scoots across northern Missouri and just drops you right into Hannibal. I'm so excited to see you and a bunch of other folks that are coming in, and it'll be a nice day. It'll be great to get back in touch with all the central corn and bean growers that I miss seeing so much of.
Yeah, so next week, just so everybody knows, we'll have analysts up on stage in the morning at the University of Illinois tent and in the afternoon, too. Orion Samuelson will be handling the MC of the stage in the morning, and I'll be helping him out with that. And then, of course, in the afternoon, I'll be there to take care of that. That's 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock each and every day of the Farm Progress Show. It's in Decatur. It's quick. It's simple. It's easy to get to. Just Route 48, pull off there, and you'll drop right into the site. Once you're in the parking lot, if you come in the main gate, just make a right-hand turn, go about a block, and you're there at the U of I tent. And of course, we'll talk with Mike Zuzulo then. Let's talk with him now, though, about what happened this week. I know you followed the Midwest crop tour that Farm Journal put on. What'd you think of those numbers as they were released today?
You know, I was eager to see the final number because the Farm Journal people do take into account the southern part of the Corn Belt they don't get to, meaning southern Illinois, southern Indiana, and that is an area that is really hurt this year. And I do think that that helped bring down the national yield. So the 167.1 yield they came out with just a little bit ago for the corn takes production down 200 million bushels from USDA's estimate this month, Todd. So that takes you back to about a 2 to 2.1 billion bushel carryover. The model that I use for lead month futures would suggest at that carryover level, your lead month corn September right now is about 40 cents too cheap, that instead of being at 335 to 340, you should be at 380 to 385. The exact opposite could be said for the soybeans. The 48.5 bushel yield they came up with today takes you only down about 5 million bushels in production. And so you're sitting right around a 475, 480 carryover, using no other changes in the supply-demand sheet. So the model that I look at for the same elasticity when it comes to the lead month soybeans suggests that 940, 945 is kind of fair value given that kind of a carryover number. And so I would not be surprised given the fact that the beans ran so hard against the corn and took the bean-corn ratio up to a two-year high or close to a two-year high this week that we would see some unwinding of that. And what I'm hoping is that even though the wheat closed down an eighth week in a row, I'm hoping that maybe the beans stay sideways and the corn builds some premium back in.
We'll know that next week, and really we'll know more about what this crop size looks like when we get to the USDA figures. Those will be as of September 1st, of course. We probably won't have a whole lot more information than we did in August, some as it relates to the objective yields. How soon do you think we'll have a really good handle on the size of this crop?
I really spent some time looking at the paper that one of your U of I ag economists you interviewed talked about earlier this week or late last week. I can't remember which, but I really took some time and looked at the statistical side of the equation. If I remember right, they looked from 1990 to 2016, and about 14 years out of that mix, the USDA did come around as early as September for a yield adjustment. And so I'm really on track with what your U of I economist was talking about, that they will find a lower yield in the corn in the September report simply because of the crop conditions and simply because of the ear weight was the question mark before the Farm Journal crop tour. But as it progressed on, I think population is just as much a question mark listening to those state-by-state reports.
Right. So it was Scott Irwin, and folks can find that on the Farm Doc Daily website. I may have a link on the willag.org website, too. I don't recall exactly. If it is, it's on a second page somewhere, so you'd have to scroll down a bit to get to it. But certainly you could search for Scott Irwin on the Farm Doc Daily website, and you'll find that particular report. What about the soybeans and the numbers that came from Pro Farmer? What'd you think of those? And you gave us an adjustment on them, but do you think that those are pretty accurate, or do the soybeans have a lot more and or a lot less potential yet to go?
I think they have a declining likelihood in terms of yield going from here on out. The rains that we had this week certainly were like the June rains for the corn in terms of saving a crop and not having us have a 2012 type bean crop. But it was getting that serious in some very key states for soybean production. So I'm leaning towards the downside. I think that the 48.5 that Farm Journal gave us today is a number we can work with. I'm inclined to think it's going to be hard to get above 48 when it's all said and done. But one of the things that holds me back from being more price bullish or price friendly, Todd, is that we are running one of the coolest months of August in the middle part of the country in many, many years. And I can't remember if it's the fourth or seventh in the last decade, but it's been a very cool August. And I think the beans have been given a very big breath of life, so to speak, at that point. So I'm more concerned with the corn because of the discount that the corn has in it, especially because of the wheat and some of the other factors like NAFTA.
Hey, thanks so much, Mike.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Well, all week long, we've been following along with the Farm Journal Midwest Crop Tour. Brian Grady is with Pro Farmer, and he's been on the eastern leg of that tour. We've talked to him from time to time. He now has the adjusted numbers, and these are different than what we heard from the tour, that Pro Farmer will be using for its yield. They were released at 1:30 today. Hey, Brian, thanks for being with us. I bet you're glad to be in the home office there in Cedar Falls.
It is good to be back here, Todd. Long week of work, but it's very beneficial and meet great people. And most importantly, we get out there and we see the crop firsthand and pull samples.
And so we know the United States Department of Agriculture in the August crop production report put the corn yield at 169.5 nationwide. When you adjusted it out, what did you come up with for the Pro Farmer yield?
Our Pro Farmer estimate's 167.1 bushels per acre, so down a little bit from where USDA was. Gives us a corn crop of 13.953 billion bushels, once again down with the drop in the yield from USDA's level.
And for soybeans?
Soybean crop, we got yield pegged at 48.5 bushels per acre, and the crop size at 4.331 billion bushels.
It looks to me from the state breakdown numbers, and we can go through some of those, that it's Illinois that is the laggard in this particular ship load of yield. Is that the case?
Well, I think we saw on tour that the Eastern Corn Belt has some potential out there. Has quite a bit of potential in some cases, but will they realize it or not? And so we adjusted down yields in many of those states just because, you're probably not going to realize all that grain length out there that we measured during crop tour. And so that's the adjustment factors that come into play when Pro Farmer puts our numbers on it on Friday after spending 4 days out sampling fields.
Let's go with the four top producing states in the United States. USDA at 188 in Iowa in August. Where do you stand?
We put it at 183. We felt like there's enough damage in the south central, southeastern, and western crop districts that, it's hard to get to where USDA was, in our opinion, on August 1, and we went down with the lower estimate of 183 there.
Illinois was also at 188 by USDA's accounting, and for ProFarmer?
We put them at 181, so we dropped it a little bit more even. When you look at the eastern half of the state, if you just split it up and down north and south, it looked like the crop stress was greatest over there in that east central into central Illinois area. As we moved into the western part of the state, it was better plant health, a little bit more consistent on yields. But there's some really good dirt in Illinois that's just going to have yields that don't match up to what they would be in a typical year, and that's why we made that reduction there in Illinois.
Nebraska at 183 by USDA's accounting. I know your numbers there are always a little strange because of the routes you run, so tell me about both of those things.
Yeah, we put Nebraska's yield at 180.5. And, you mentioned the variance there. Typically, we measure on crop tour about 40% irrigated and 60% dry land corn when we go through sampling. This year, it was about 50%. So we were up, a little bit from where we have been historically. But the state of Nebraska has about 60% irrigated and 40% dry land. And that's why tour typically estimates the Nebraska crop light, and then we adjust it, obviously, with the ProFarmer numbers.
Your tour went through the best parts of Minnesota, and that showed up in the 191.5 bushel to the acre yield for corn in Minnesota. USDA at 183 statewide. Where did you end up on that one?
The ProFarmer estimate for Minnesota is 184. And like you mentioned, we go through, and we know this, we go through the best areas in Minnesota when we do our crop tour. And as a result, we have to adjust down because the rest of the state won't support the types of yields we find with the tour data. We went with a 184 number for Minnesota. And feel like, it's a really good crop there in Minnesota this year. And that happens to be the highest yield amongst the seven states that we toured this year.
And one final question. The Indiana numbers, USDA at 173, the crop tour at 171.23, and your number for ProFarmer, and I've got this in front of me, at 171. So USDA at 173. Most folks in this part of the world was thinking that Indiana would not be so good, or at least not that good. What did you see that convinced you that it still is at a 171?
Well, there's a lot of potential out there. It's variable. There's no doubt about that, and that makes it difficult. When we went through the state, a lot of variability, not only in the yields samples that we pulled, but within the fields. I mean, there was a lot of replanting that went on in some of those areas, but there's potential there. And I think that's one of the key differences that we saw this year on crop tour versus the past couple of years. The past couple of years, we've been measuring a lot of actual yields. The maturity on the crop was advanced enough where we kind of knew what it was. This year, we measured a lot of potential because there's a lot of young crop out there, immature crop that still needs some time, is going to need some sunshine, some warmth, and timely rains here into the end of the growing season. But, the numbers coming out of tour supported a little bit lower number there, and that's why we put it at 171. The tour data didn't suggest it would be a significant reduction for Indiana from what where the year-ago number was and where you where USDA had it on August 1.
Again, that's Brian Grady. He's with ProFarmer. Joins us from Cedar Falls, just off of the Farm Journal Midwest Crop Tour. They pegged the U.S. corn crop at 167.1 bushels to the acre nationwide, 13.953 billion bushels for production, and a 1% move from either side of that. Soybeans at 4.331 billion bushels on 48.5 bushels to the acre, and a 2% range on either side of that. This is the Closing Market Report for a Friday afternoon. It's the 25th day of August. We're now joined by Eric Snodgrass from Agrible and the Morning Farm Report. Hey, Eric, thanks for being with us. Let's get right down to business and tell me about Harvey first.
Yeah, Hurricane Harvey is currently a Category 2 strength hurricane. We've got wind speeds that are sustained at about 110 miles an hour. But I was just looking at some radar data, and we're starting to see some return suggesting over 120 mile an hour winds. And the big uncertainty with Harvey is it going to be able to do what we call an eyewall replacement before making landfall later on today? And it's got basically two concentric rings that make up its inner eyewall and its outer eyewall. And if that outer eyewall does contract in, that will allow it to really strengthen rapidly before making landfall. But it's the landfall that's most important here, and that's because Hurricane Harvey, is right now kind of being controlled by some higher atmospheric pressure to both its west and to its northeast. And what that means is those steering winds are not allowing Harvey, once it makes landfall, to move too much. And this is where the biggest threat from Harvey comes in. Some model forecasts project anywhere along the Texas coast between Corpus Christi, maybe so far enough south of Brownsville to Houston, may see anywhere between 10 and 30 inches of rain because of this system stalling out. And that's really the biggest threat. And it's interesting because what this reminds me of was Tropical Storm Allison in 2001, which went to the same area, a little bit farther to the north, but same general area, and just sat there and kind of spun over that area for several days. And if you didn't know a little bit of history about hurricanes, Tropical Storm Allison is the only tropical system to ever have its name retired, where the tropical system did not achieve hurricane status, which means it didn't have sustained winds above 74 miles an hour. So this is, that's a pretty rare thing to say. And Harvey's kind of following in Allison's footsteps, and I am almost certain that we're going to retire Harvey's name after we see how much flooding we're going to get out of this. I'll say one other thing. Some of Harvey's kind of rain bands make it over toward New Orleans, and if that happens, that could cause some problems because their pumps are not functioning fully. Now, if we think about agriculture, what I'm worried about here is that the best guidance we have for after the weekend for the remnants of Harvey is to track through parts of Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, getting up toward the southern parts of the Corn Belt. Now, remember, they're doing harvesting in the lower Mississippi and mid-Mississippi river valleys right now. So this is going to be potentially a lot of rain hitting an area that's really trying to get a lot of field work done. So Harvey is causing a lot of problems right now for the U.S. That is for certain.
Okay, and then let's talk a little bit about other things that are happening in the Corn Belt in particular. What kind of system do we have, and what does the pattern look like?
Yeah, so we got to deal with the fact that we have a low-pressure system, a weak one that's moving basically through parts of the Dakotas today and early tomorrow, and then eventually over to parts of Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Illinois. Not going to be a widespread precipitation maker for Illinois, but it's certainly going to be for those states to our north and west, bringing in some rain. And it's that pattern that's important to be talking about, and that's because, well, that broader trough we've seen over the eastern half of the country has brought in some cooler temperatures. And we saw, our first frost advisory is going up for the UP of Michigan, so that's pretty far north, but still, a frost advisory was up there today. They're expecting chilly temperatures again tomorrow. And while all that's happening, the West is baking. There is a huge ridge out west, and there's heat advisors out for Southern California. So this is a pattern we have to be on the lookout for, and I don't see it breaking down anytime soon. In fact, one thing that's got me concerned is the models have kind of honed in on our next kind of bigger trough coming through, let's call it September 3rd, 4th, somewhere in that area. And if that trough comes through, it could also introduce the frost threat for the very, very northern fringes of the Corn Belt. I'm not talking about a Corn Belt-wide frost event at this point, but it's just the fact that we get stuck in this pattern where we have this broader trough over the east, ridge over the west, that increases our chances of getting cool and staying cool. So you're right, we got to watch that from now all the way through mid-October, which is when the typical frost date is for central Illinois at least. So, yep, that pattern is crucial to be on the lookout for this fall.
Well, the good news is you'll be on the watch for it, and all I have to do is ask.
Exactly. Hey, that's my job.
Hey, thanks so much, Eric.
Thank you.
And, of course, Eric Snodgrass, he is with Agrible, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Friday afternoon.